Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again that we come now before you as we finish up in 1 John for a little while and this last Sunday, Lord, and we talk about something that is near and dear to all of us, because all of us as your followers have done this. We're going to talk about prayer. And Lord, as we talk about that, let your Spirit and your Word speak. Remove me from it. For Lord, when men get mixed up in things like this, sometimes we over-exaggerate or we don't do enough. It's just all kind of different things. So Lord, I just ask that you remove me and let your Word speak for itself. There's a lot of strong beliefs and there's a lot of strong things that people say about prayer, but it is simply communicating with our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit that He sent us. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, there was a young woman once who was deeply, 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 and I'm talking head over heels, you know, all this other kind of stuff you want to, whatever cliche, in love with a young man. And that love was strong from her side. She wanted to marry him desperately. And since she was a believer, she prayed often for God to grant her request that he proposed to her. Now, this obviously was back in the days when the men had to do the kneeling. All right. She brought the issue up in private repeatedly, gave hints. I mean, every time they'd go by the mall and go by the Zales or whatever, she'd start, "Hey, do you see that one? Do you see that one?" All kind of hints. She even went to her family for advice and friends. But the man did not want to discuss the matter. He told her he loved her, but marriage was not something that he cared to consider. And prayer after prayer from the young woman filled the air around her. Tears flowed in rivers down her cheeks. She begged God to get him to ask me. And finally, with a heavy heart, after years of this, she gave up. The man left her shortly thereafter, and the woman became very angry that God did not answer her prayer. She felt abandoned and miserable by her boyfriend, by her family, and by her God. This is the way she felt. And why had God not answered her prayer in the way that she desired? Now, theologically speaking, we know the answer. God said no. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, no is an answer. I mean, I'm not going to get all sentimental and sappy and start singing Garth Brooks, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to tell you that there are some times when God says no. And we get upset about that. Haven't we heard, "Oh, if we just pray a certain way, if we just say Jesus' name, if we do all this, oh, won't God answer our prayers?" And the answer is yes, but it might not be the answer you expect or want. But it is the answer from God Almighty. Only years later, this young lady we were discussing discovered that the Lord's will for her was to marry someone she hadn't even met at that point. And then she saw later that the man that she had wanted to marry turned out, let's just say, he wasn't the brightest bulb. Foghorn Leghorn, that great theologian, said that boy was about as bright as a 3-watt bulb in a bucket of tar. And she was thankful that God had spared her by answering her prayer, just not in the way that she expected. So this gives us a clarity. It is in the act of trusting God's nature and will that we believers really see how prayer works. Now, what does the Bible say of prayer? It says a lot about prayer. We're going to start in 1 John and move throughout Scripture to get the bigger picture of what prayer means for a believer. Now, our text today is 1 John 5, 14 and 15. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And it reads like this. Now, I got to set you up. 13, he was talking about knowing that you have eternal life. And in that knowledge of eternal life, that's where this comes in. Verse 14, "This is the confidence we have before Him. We as the believers, and Him is God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him." But you see, that's the verse that people sometimes wrench. In fact, there's a poster I wish I could get from my office, and it says, much to the extent that I can do anything through a verse taken out of context. And that's true. We can twist scriptures, but you know who twists scriptures? The one that came to Jesus in the wilderness. He twists scriptures with us all the time. And it's nice to put on a coffee mug, but you gotta understand the meaning behind it. You gotta understand what prayer really is. Now John had just discussed and pointed out in verse 13 that he had written to believers so that they may know they have eternal life. And when you know that you have eternal life, then you have the confidence to ask God for something. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you asked for. And that's where we have a problem, because we hear all the time, well, all you got to do is ask God, He's going to give it to you. All you got to do is use Jesus' name and He'll give it, have to give it to you. You know, you circle the Cadillac 16 times backwards and send me $100 and you pray and God will give it to you. Guys, that's baloney. Or as my daughter taught me to say, bologna. We have to understand God does hear His children and He will give them according to His will what they desire. Now here's the thing, is what you're desiring is your will in line with what God's will is. Sometimes it is, and God grants that, and sometimes it's not. And God's not being mean. We just can't see the world and everything around us the way He does. And we've got to learn to trust Him when His answers are not what we expect. You know, you could take this story and you could take the prayer of God, the desperate, earnest prayer that a believer has, and yet God does not answer the prayer the way He wants. Every one of us in here, some very recently, have prayed over a family member and we've begged God to spare that person. And sometimes it's God's will that that person go to glory. But you see, we haven't tasted glory yet outside of Jesus. So all we know is the here and the now. And we want to have our prayer answered. And it could be about anything. Not just that. It could be about a job or school or whatever. This past week, someone that I know very dear had a heart attack. And this person really, I do not believe, knows Christ. And I prayed, Lord, before anything else happens, let someone come into his life and lead him to Jesus. Now he knows of Jesus, but he doesn't know Jesus. And we got to understand, we have to understand the things that we ask of God have to be according to His will. They have to be the same desire as God has. So what do we desire when we pray? Do we want the will of God to be enacted, or do we want to? And sometimes, and when I say this, please don't misunderstand, because I'm going to use the word selfish, but here I'm not talking about a greedy type selfishness. I'm just talking about a type that this is what I think is best, and this is what I'm asking of God. You're not being mean about it. You're not being condescending to God. You're not being untrustworthy. This is just what you think you want God to answer the prayer. But it doesn't always work that way. Now, there are many places in the Bible that we see God talks about prayer and talks about the desires of prayer. Do we choose when we pray to honor God with godly requests, or do we desire to selfishly promote ourselves? Hard questions, because many of us think what we ask for God is in His will, as we said, when sometimes it's not. But listen to what Jesus said in Luke 11, 9 through 10. Please turn to that. Luke 11, 9 through 10. And this is Jesus speaking of prayer. Luke 11, 9 through 10. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, here's the thing. Nowhere in there does it say that what you ask for will be given to you. It just says ask, and it will be given. It may be what God wants for you. And it may be what you ask for is in line with God's will. It says seek. What are you seeking for? It says if you seek, you will find. Are you seeking God's will? Are you seeking His glory? Are you seeking what's best for the person? Because brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you what I think is best for somebody may not be what they think is best for somebody. And either one doesn't matter, because it's what God thinks is best for somebody. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. There used to be an old joke about someone preaching that, and he went home and he opened the door and a hornet nest fell on him. You know, there is a little bit of humor in that, but I'm going to tell you, that's not what we're doing when we're knocking on the door to ask Christ to come in and sup with us. We're asking for fellowship. We're asking for communion. Now, Jesus did say all this. He did say that. I'm not saying He didn't. He did. But the question is here, is where is the heart of the person asking? Are you asking according to God's will? That was in our primary text today. Let me reread that one more time. It says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. According to His will is where we trip up. And sometimes when we ask... Now, brothers and sisters, I see some faces out there. I'm getting through the negative stuff first, but then I'm going to bring the positive, okay? So y'all hang in there with me. James 4:3 tells us that we do not receive because we ask with wrong motives. Going back to the little thing I said about circling the Cadillac 13 times backwards. You know, if you need transportation and you pray for it, God will probably give you a means of transportation. It might not be a Cadillac. Might not be a Yugo. But it will be a way to go. And isn't that what you asked for? The motive behind the heart is important. James was talking about people asking for things and then spending them on their evil desires. Now folks, when I'm talking about prayer, that sounds like the prayer of an unsaved person. Now we're going to see that God does not answer the prayers of people who are praying with the wrong motives. I'm going to quote scripture and verse for you there. And do you know that when an unbelieving person prays, it's usually not a prayer, it's a demand. It's a demand. Do we demand of God or do we ask? Do we boldly approach the throne and lay our petitions at the feet of the Almighty? Or do we barge in, knocking on the door, you got to give me this because I'm such a good person? It's difficult. Because sometimes we do ask with right motives, and sometimes the answer is no. And then sometimes we demand of God. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know about y'all, but in my heart, I do my best not to demand anything of God. I ask. And I try to ask humbly. Because demanding of God is what Pharaoh and the pagans do. They demand of their little deities, their little whatnots that they put on a shelf and burn candles in front of. Do this, do that, do the other. Remember good old Elijah on the mountain? Oh, Baal, come down and all this. They were demanding. Elijah's like, maybe he's going to the bathroom, who knows. That is in one of the versions of your Bible, by the way. But no. All Elijah did was pray a prayer and ask God to answer, and fire came down and devoured the sacrifice and licked up the water that was in the trenches around the altar and scared the holy you-know-whats out of Ahab. Good. Sometimes we need to be put in fear of the Lord and remember His awesomeness, but not from the position of Ahab, from the position of Elijah and the people who then chased down the prophets of Baal and slaughtered them. Well, in James's mind, this was asking in order to spend. But you see, there's other motives about praying. Listen to Proverbs 21:13. And it tells us the one who shuts his ear to those in need will call out, that means prayer, and it not be answered. Because they're not praying to do God's will. And then we go to Micah 3:4, and it says, then they will cry out to the Lord, but He will not answer them. He will hide His face from them at the time because of the crimes they have committed. Now, He's talking about a specific group of people that were in Israel, their judges and their leaders and things like that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a sinner before God and you're in that state of sin, you will cry out and He will not answer. Now, let me couch that. He will answer the prayer for salvation. He will answer the prayer to become one of His children. That He will, because none of us would be in here unless He did. But if you are in your sin and you are rebellious in your sin and you're living out a life that says, I'm going to do what I want to do and you can't change me, God, and then you say, well, God, give me this, give me that, He's not going to hear you. And He's not being mean, but you're not His child. You know, I love kids. I mean, I love VBS, and we're going to do that again next year, and I love them. But you know, if my daughter comes up to me and asks something and gives me those little baby doll eyes, you know, Daddy, please. Not that she's ever done it. She's turning red as a beet right now. But the point is being this, if my daughter asks me something, I'm going to do, if it's a good thing, then I'm going to do everything in my power to do it. If a stranger's kid came up to me that I've never seen before and said, give me some money, you think I'm going to give him some money? I'm going to say, where's your daddy at? Where's your mom at? Now, if they're in need, I'm going to help them. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about we have a relationship with God, and He will answer us when we're in the right relationship with God. Not the wrong relationship. Not willfully, purposefully, continuously sinning. Now, brothers and sisters, we all make mistakes. We all sin on occasion, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living in open rebellion. That's what I'm talking about. You know, Oswald Chambers, if you ever read his devotional, Utmost for His Highest, good devotional, but he says that it is not natural for a man to pray. What do you think about that statement? It's not natural for a man to pray. Well, if you're in your flesh, if you're in carnal, if you're the natural man, it is very uncommon for you to pray and really mean it. Because your life is focused on yourself and not the things of God. But let me put it to you this way. In short, in prayer, we cannot manipulate God by trying to turn the prayer into a gimme, gimme, gimme session. You know, we joke about that. We sometimes see cartoons and folks and the little kids got all the gumballs around, gimme, 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 you know. That's what sometimes we turn prayer into. Now, we don't, I believe, intentionally do that, but it does sometimes happen. In fact, one commentary states, prayer is not a convenient device for the imposing of our will upon God or for bending His will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to His. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align it with ourselves. Every true prayer is a variation of the theme, Thy will be done. Now, you have a lot of preachers in pulpits this morning all across this country and all across the world that would tell you something a little different. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that we need to pray. And every prayer needs to be that variation. Thy will be done. You know, you can ask God for anything, and please do. Don't think I'm telling you don't ask for God. You ask God what you need, what is on your heart. But we always have to remember when our Lord prayed for Himself in the garden, Lord, let not this cup come to me, or let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. So Jesus was praying for Himself. But His overarching theme was, let God's will be done. For if it hadn't, none of us would be here today. We need to remember that. But you know, brothers and sisters, prayer is not optional. Did you know that we are commanded to pray? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, if you want to look at it, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says this, first of all then, I urge that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I emphasize that on purpose. Is you got folks going to run around saying things that, well, God doesn't want everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved, and there's the proof right there. And there's another passage in 1 Peter that talks about it. Not everyone will be. Not everyone will come to the knowledge of truth. But that is God's desire. And note that the prayers and the intercessions, the petitions and the thanksgivings are made for everyone else. Do you see Paul here saying to Timothy, Timothy, pray for yourself. Now, of course, Paul prayed for himself, so it's implied. Remember when he asked for that thorn in his side to be removed 3 times and Jesus said, hey, my strength is sufficient for you. He was praying for himself. He got an answer that he didn't like, but he lived with it because he trusted God. Paul's telling Timothy these things. The purpose that we pray for everyone else is for the Christian to lead a quiet and tranquil life, if at all possible. Is that always possible? No, brothers and sisters, it's not. But if it is anything up to us, we are to pray for all people so that we can lead a quiet and tranquil life. These prayers are good and pleasing to God. I just read it. This is good, verse 3, and it pleases God our Savior. When we pray for someone else, it pleases God because our focus is not on ourselves but on others and God's will for that person's life. Now, brothers and sisters, don't pray for a big rock to fall on somebody's head. That ain't the way this works. You know, I hear people who something gets done to them and I understand that they feel bad, but they say, I just want justice and the justice is what I think it is. You can pray to God for justice. I highly recommend that, but you're going to have to be satisfied with His justice. And if He wants that person to come to Christ, which we just read He did, then you need to shut up, take it, forgive, and move on. Well, He did such and such and it was so terrible. Yes, it was. It was. No one takes that away. But what does Christ command you to do? Through Paul, He commands us to pray for everyone so that we can have a quiet and tranquil life. We need to focus on the fact that these prayers that Paul just talked about are not selfish prayers, but they're prayers for others, whether they're the powerful people like kings, etc., or the common. Pray for everyone. Now let me ask you, does this mean we are not to pray for ourselves? No. As we said, Christ prayed for Himself and we're to follow our Master. So yes, it is appropriate that we pray for ourselves. But we still have to pray in accordance to the will of God. And that's where the train jumps the tracks. Because when we start, we can say a wonderful, outstanding, God-fearing prayer for someone else. And that's wonderful. But when we start talking about ourselves, we either turn it into a gimme, 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 or an organ recital. You do know what an organ recital is, right? Oh, my stomach. Oh, my liver. Oh, my lungs. That's an organ recital. Now, I'm not being facetious because we do need to pray for our health. But sometimes we can get carried away. And you know, because you drop a 5-pound weight on your foot and you got a bloody toe, yes, you can pray to remove the pain, but get up and walk. Use what God gave you. You don't have to be helpless. We can pray for those things. Now, I want to give you a few examples from Scripture. I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. That tells us that God hears and answers us. And I'm going to do 3 out of the Old and 1 out of the New. And you don't have to look these up. I'm just going to tell you quickly. Psalm 4:3, a Psalm of David, says this. Know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for Himself. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. The psalmist is writing that. So the emphasis there is the person that God hears is the faithful person. It's very difficult to pray to God when you're being unfaithful to Him. You can't serve both God and mammon. You serve God, you serve God. Now, you have to do other things. Nobody questions that. You have to go out in the world, you have to work, you have to go to school, you have to live your life. Yes, but remain faithful so that God will hear your prayers. Micah 7:7. The prophet speaking, but I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. The person who knows God must look to Him and must wait on Him. And knowing that, during that wait, He will hear you. That's important for me. Because brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, there's been times in my life when I thought God did not listen to me. No matter how much I cried and begged and hit the table with my fist and all kind of other stuff. Back when I was in Mississippi, I used to go out and kick tree stumps. Not a recommended action, by the way. I'd get so mad and I'd pray, why don't these people, you know, that kind of thing. Because you get so frustrated and you get so hurt and you get so annoyed. But God hears the one that prays, that looks to Him, that waits for Him. Psalm 91:15 says, when he calls out to me, this is God speaking, when he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. When you're a Christian, when you're in trouble and you need God, you call out to him. And he will rescue you. Now, it may not be kind of the rescue you think of. You know, if the room's on fire and all you see is a door and the door is locked, God is going to have someone bust that door down or that window is going to suddenly appear. Now, I'm using that metaphorically. I'm not talking about a real fire, but I'm talking about the trouble we get ourselves into by not thinking about the other ways that God answers our prayers. And then finally, John 15:7. Hear this. John 15:7. Very important. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done to you. But the word of the Lord has to be in you and you have to be in the word of the Lord. Therefore, what you're going to be asking is going to be according to His will. See how it fits together. The prayer that you pray must be in accordance to His will and you have to be in His word. And your word has, and you have to be in His word and His word has to be in you. God promises to hear His people. But there are the conditions we read that apply to the reception of God's answer. Christ Himself said, as seen as John 15:7, we just read it, that the believer must remain in Him and His words must remain in them in order to ask and receive. If we couple this with that text we just talked about from today, 1 John 5, then the believer must be in Christ, must keep His words, and that means obedience, and ask in accordance with God's will. Then the asking, as we said, falls in line with God's will and ways. And in such a state, the one praying can be assured that God hears and God answers the prayers and requests that are offered. Now, the answer may not be what you expect, but He hears and answers. The conditions the Bible sets out to receive can be seen in a couple of texts. I'm going to tell you. The first is Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Do we search for God with all our heart when we're praying? We may be begging. We may be seeing. You know, we could pray that God would open our eyes, that we could understand what's going on at the time. But the Bible's clear. One must look unto God with a wholehearted desire to find Him. You cannot seek truth if you're inclined towards untruth. If you're used to telling lies, when you come upon a truth, it shocks you. It's a shock to your system. You cannot find love if you're not willing to give it. You know, there's a lot of people that says, "Oh, I just want somebody to love me. I want to be loved. I want to be loved." But yet they're not willing to give 1 ounce of love back to anyone. They don't even take care of their dogs that well. They love the tail wagging and the licking and all that stuff. But then when it comes time to clean it or to give it medicine or to feed it, it's just a dog. Let him go out in the field and eat a rabbit. I've heard that. Now guys, that's kind of being superfluous, but that gives you an example of the heart of people sometimes when they pray. They want God to give them everything they ask for, but yet they're not willing to do one thing God asked them to do. Now, can you pray in that and expect an answer? I don't think so. We are sometimes unable to truly seek God because we are doing it in a half-hearted, lazy, and superfluous approach. We are commanded to boldly approach the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Anything else other than boldly approaching through the blood of Jesus Christ, to me, seems to be a little bit worthless. When we know God, we can go straight to the throne room. We can be like Esther and beat on that door. And the king there puts his scepter forward and receives us into the throne room. And there we lay our petitions at his feet. Now here's a verse that many people use to say you can have anything you want. Name it and claim it. Mark 11:24. "Therefore I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." But brothers and sisters, you have to take that with the whole counsel of the Bible. You have to ask in the will of God. You have to ask with a heart that is seeking God and knocking on the door. The promise is couched in the condition. One must believe that they will receive before it is given. How many times, well, God didn't give me something I asked for, but did you believe He would? No, I just thought I'd just pray and see what happens. I always like to get a conversation with someone, usually an adult, that talks about, well, they don't really believe in prayer, and I ask why. And they say, well, when I was 12, I prayed for a scooter and I never got one. Guys, that sounds ridiculous, but people think that. People sing that way sometimes. That's not what the Bible says. You've got to believe in order to receive it. And I would say you've got to believe to even ask it in the first place. If someone promises you something, you must have a certain faith that they will keep their promise. Can you rely on God Almighty to keep His promise? Yes, yes, and yes. God cannot lie. God cannot make a promise He is unable to keep. And we've just read many promises where He said He's going to hear our prayer and answer the prayer. The problem we have is we expect one answer and God may give us a different. But does that make God a liar? No. It makes God God. Only humanity reneges on its promises, makes untrue promises that the one knows that when they make it, they won't keep it. God is above all that He has no sin in Him. Therefore, when He makes a promise, He keeps it. Now, I want to caution once again against the misuse of this verse. The request must be in line with the will of God, which is not necessarily in the line of human desire or reasoning. Just because you want it does not mean that it is the best for you. I knew a child one time that wanted a scooter really, really bad. One of them little Razor scooters. And the mom and daddy finally gave in and bought it. And we were like, you know, this might not be the best thing for you. And then an arm was broken. Pins were placed. Things like that. Sometimes what you want is not necessarily the best for you. We do not use this verse out of context. God desires His will to be done for His glory and His honor, and He does not do things for people who ask in selfish or malevolent conditions. Now, I want us to go back to 1 John, and I want us to go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Again, conditions for answered prayer. 1 John 3, 21 through 22 says this. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive whatever we ask for Him because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. Notice, our hearts have to not condemn us. Now what that means is we know that we're in a right standing with God. Not that we're perfect, but that we're in a right standing with God. And we receive whatever we ask because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. Now if you're not keeping His commands and not pleasing in His sight, the converse is in effect. You will not receive whatever you ask. You might receive some, you might not receive any. That's between you and the good Lord. This text tells us that we must be right before God. That means our hearts not condemning us by the knowledge of purposeful sin, and that we must be in obedience, which brings about God's pleasure. We already talked about pleasing to God when we were talking about praying for other people, haven't we? Now I want to sum up the conditional requirements for answered prayer. And again, I want to reiterate, when I say answered, that means the answer because yes, no, maybe, or wait. There are not a lot of maybes, a lot of waits. Yes, no, and wait. I'm going to just throw maybe out. First, seek God with all your heart. Male or female, man or woman, boy or girl. You seek God with all your heart. And He will hear your prayer. Pray believing that God will grant your request. You're not going to get anything if you don't believe you're going to get it. You know, when I asked for a purple tricycle when I was 6 years old, and I was told, okay, we'll talk to Santa Claus. Now, I'm not advocating Santa Claus, but I'm just telling you that's the way it was back then. And I said, yes, you'll get it. So I believed that I was going to get it. And I did get it. And I parked it behind my dad's pickup the next day and he accidentally ran over it. And he said, that's going to teach you to take care of what you get. What teaches us to take care of the prayer answers that we receive from God. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sees this. You see, in these conditions... Oh yeah, I forgot. Number three. First is seek God with all your heart. Number two, pray believing that God will grant your request. Number three, pray in obedience to His word and will. Again, you're not going to get an answered prayer if you're answered for a big rock to fall on somebody. Okay? You're not going to receive a prayer if you're praying for a well-placed funeral of one of your enemies. Don't put that off on God. You pray to forgive that person and you move on with your life. You're not gonna receive something if you're gonna spend it on your selfish desires. Not to help somebody, but just like, hey, I want a bigger boat, God. Remember the man in the Bible that we're told about tore down all his barns, tried to build bigger barns, and his soul was required of him that night? Prayer is something we need to take serious. Now, in these conditions, we have confidence in Christ, not ourselves. Let us make sure we understand that. You prayed, hey, I'm good enough. God's got to hear my prayers. I'm the best person up there. No. Your confidence is in eternal salvation that you have through Jesus Christ, not your own. So we got to have that confidence. We have that confidence so that we can approach the throne and lay our petitions at the feet of God. Our prayers are made in accordance to His will and for His glory. Helping others is for His glory. Doing certain things in our lives are for His glory, and we can pray for that. In this, we have confidence not only to be before Him, but to ask Him our heart's desires. For now, our heart's desires are in line with the will of God. And if your heart's desires are in line with the will of God, then He will answer those prayers in the affirmative. However, again, we fall back on, what if God's will is something different from our will? I knew a person one time that was, and some of you may have experienced something similar, that was dying of cancer, and it was one of my aunts. And I remember Brother Danny Henderson, he was the pastor that led me to the Lord and baptized me, and he came out and he was praying, and all Uncle Russell wanted, that was her husband, it was my grandmother's sister. He said, oh, just pray the Lord will heal her, I need her, I can't, you know. And she was not that old, she was in her early 60s. I will pray as you request, but you need to be ready if that's not God's will. And it may be God's will, because He knew my Aunt Geneva, and He knew that she was a good Christian lady. This was a lady that she would pass people working in the field, and because back there it was all cotton fields, okay? Leesburg Baptist Church was a church sitting in the middle of a cotton field. Okay, all sides of it. She would see guys on tractors, or she'd see people hoeing cotton in early days, and she would literally grab every jug in the house she could. She would make lemonade, and she would take it out there and just give it to them. Not say who she was, not say where she's from. She'd just give it to them and walk away. And many times, it was like a hot Saturday or something, and she would make a spread, and she would go out and invite people to come in and eat dinner. Now, that's lunch for you Yankees, okay? It was a wonderful thing. And she loved the Lord. And Brother Danny told my Uncle Russell, it may be that God is giving her reward. Who are we to stand in the way? Brothers and sisters, we've got to have that kind of heart. We may not like what's going on, but we've got to trust God in that. So our prayers are made in accordance to the will. Our desires are now found in the will. So brothers and sisters, when we pray, let us not pray with that half-hearted, rote, ceremonial diatribe. You know, I love children, and I'm not talking about this, but when you're 40 years old, you don't need to be praying, now I lay me down to sleep. Because then it just becomes habit and ceremony and not a sincere communication with God. When we pray over our meals, we pray for a blessing, that God will use the food for nourishment of our bodies, but also that all those that are in the fellowship and the company would be blessed, and that is pleasing to God. When we pray for personal things, we need to honor God in what we ask. Before we pray, we need to think momentarily, it doesn't take long, what would honor and please God, and then you lay the cares of your heart at His feet. Doesn't take but a millisecond. Then you go before the throne. And brothers and sisters, I want you to realize that when we pray, we are before the throne of God. It is not a place for flippancy. It is not a place for joking. It is a place that you look into the eyes of the man with the nail-scarred hands by the Spirit. And you ask Him, and He loves you enough to answer your prayers and hear your prayers. We know that He hears and will answer His people. And in this knowledge, we fearfully and thankfully realize the truth of what God has for us. The answers to our prayers, as we stated, may not always be what we expect, but the answer will be what our God desires. God looks at things from the eternal perspective. We look at things from the temporal perspective. We see beginnings and we see ends. God sees them, but compressed, because there is no beginning and there is no end with God. And He sees time and our prayers and our lives and everything we think in one grasp, in one eye. This can be a hard reality, especially in times of pain and trial. But brothers, we can take, and sisters, we can take joy in knowing that God did hear us. And He continues to hear us. And He will hear us when we are standing with all the tribes and tongues and nations of this earth before the throne of God singing, "Glory, glory, glory." I'm looking forward to that day, but I'm looking forward to now. Because when I pray, I know my God hears. And I expect an answer. But I have to trust His answer. I have to trust His answer. It is still the truth in the good times and the hard times. So now, as we pray, whenever we pray, let us pray the prayer of truth, of expectation, of worship, and of grace. The prayer God respects is the prayer of faith. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Praise team. Now the question is, can you pray that prayer? Do you have the understanding and the ability to pray? If you do not belong to God, I don't think you do. And we can have a conversation about that. But brothers and sisters, I'm praying more for us, the believers, today. I'm praying that you will understand prayer. That's not oxymoronic. That is a literal thing. We need to understand when we go before God. We need to understand how things are. We need to understand the conditions and the requirements we have to be heard and to receive the prayer. Brothers and sisters, when we do, that opens up joy to us. That opens up expectation. That opens up appreciation and thanksgiving. That opens up the treasure house of God. Not just money, but in presence. Talent and ability and all these things. So when you pray, pray as Jesus prayed. And you can join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Right. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. And deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, when we can pray, we don't have to pray that rote, but we follow that pattern. That's a good prayer. But then there are times when God opens you up to speak one-on-one, like I can speak to Brother Mel or Brother Rick or Brother John or anybody in here. That's that personal communication that only a child of the King can have with the Savior. God bless.